Hi, I'm Laura, and I am ADHD AF. Seriously. In the interim between seasons 2 and 3, I've created these micro interviews to use the platform to share useful information to the ADHD community. I'm just a late diagnosed ADHDer sharing my lived experiences, which means I'm not a psychiatrist, therapist, or coach. I am not trained or even emotionally equipped to offer advice or support. And that's why I've gathered these golden nuggets of information from people who actually know what they're talking about. There will likely be swearing and sensitive subject matter, so please have a read of the description of each episode before ingesting these juicy morsels of information, or in other words, tidbits. I am joined again by the wonderful Jacob, ADHD Father UK, to give us all his wise words of wisdom. So this time I want to ask you about your advice to a parent of a child with ADHD.
There's a couple of areas, but let's say we're starting at the very beginning. So it's a young child. The evidence I always bang on about is the gold standard service for a child to be assessed for ADHD is between 5 and 8. And that is really early. For most parents, they'll go, oh, that's too young. But actually, those symptoms will, within reason, for some of them, children that struggle more severely with the hyperactivity, it's actually quite easier to see in those periods. But most parents think, oh, 3 years is, oh, it's not that long. But actually, most waiting lists are 2 years now. It takes sometimes a year to sort of put things together as a parent to go, oh, maybe is it that ADHD? Because I think most children, they'll be in preschool of reception and they're just playing there anyway, so the signs aren't as obvious. And then when they go to year one, it's a bit more obvious. So the evidence shows if you wait past 8, it then starts to have a negative impact on their mental health outcomes. That's why we're seeing lots of women that are, say, 30, between 40, that now are getting a diagnosis, but it's had an impact in some way on their mental health.
I was going to say, when you said 8, I was like, do you want to add a 30 on there?
Yeah, so like that's why all these women that are getting late diagnosis, they come with other mental health conditions that have impacted them, or drug and alcohol difficulties. It's really hard to get the process done and everything done by 8, unless you're going to pay private. It's really difficult. So just be aware of that and the importance of that early intervention. I always talk about that first. Education is everything. So learning about ADHD, how does it affect children? How does it affect adults? That relationship. That is one thing some parents I work with, they don't want to do that education or other things to take priority. I would say prioritize that over anything. Sometimes as a parent, you will have to change your complete routine around to engage and work with that child. It's not how the child can work in your family. It's how you can work in that child's sort of ADHD. And some families struggle with that. Some parents that have gone, I want them to be normal and work well in our family. And I was like, it don't work like that. It's how you can support that child and live in their own world. And if you can do that, then they can engage amazing and show amazing outcomes and be happy. Normally, those parents, unfortunately, those children struggle growing up and then have a massive impact on their mental health. So education is key. Little things like if you're new to the journey, I'm pretty sure they didn't do it in Scotland, but in England, they have a thing called a local offer. So you Google Bristol local offer and it will take you to a council website which offers what support is available in your city or your council. Some are better than others. Bristol, I'm a bit of a nerd, so I've looked through Bristol's local offer and it's actually quite good. They have some amazing services.
That's because West is best.
Yeah, some areas are better than others, but that's a good place to like look if you're like, look, I don't have ADHD. I haven't got a clue what to look for. See what's your council offering. Some council offers education or training sessions, parenting courses to learn about ADHD. I have regular conversations with my children about ADHD and my ADHD. For kids with ADHD, the biggest issue is not hyperactivity. It's not anger. It's not all these other symptoms of ADHD. It's low self-esteem. How can I build this child's self-esteem? Whatever their passion is, just push them. Push them to do that passion. If they change their passion, that's fine. Go on to the next one. But self-esteem is the biggest issue. I meet loads of teenagers that are absolutely battered down by the schooling system or even their parents or peers why they are different, the more you can look at representation and they can see actually ADHD is normal, that will impact them. You know, I didn't have any representation growing up and it massively negatively impacted my upbringing and my how I viewed ADHD. What I do now is if I'm working with a parent whose son likes football, right, Google ADHD footballer. If it's music, a lot of these charities or organizations, they say, oh, well-known celebrities with ADHD, Will Smith or...
Will.i.am, Paris Hilton.
Yeah. And they are so far away from what I is so unattainable as a young child. Go, oh, Paris Hilton, she's got millions of followers. It's nothing like a working class person or a middle class person, young child growing up in England or Scotland or Wales. And so I look at local. So I'll go, on a Bristol ADHD footballer.
Yeah.
Sometimes it comes. Sometimes it might be like English or, but there is representations in small pockets. You just have to look for it. But something as simple as a Google search. I read an amazing article about this young girl who's a ADHD cricketer, professional cricketer. Would never have found it if I didn't Google it.
Yeah.
But there's loads more representation. And for young people, seeing it is so much easier. As a whole, the main areas are education as your own education. How can I support this? Looking at about what support is around in your local area. And a big one I didn't really go into, finding other parents, that peer-to-peer support. So I support a local school as a WhatsApp group for parents of children with additional needs. So sometimes they'll message me and ask questions. Two parents had children, one had autism, one had ADHD. They got chatting. They said, let's set up a WhatsApp group. And it grew and it grew and it grew. And now I think they've got 25 members. They've managed to do like surveys between the parents, and those surveys data has changed practice at the school. And nothing is more powerful than 25 parents have sent children going, look, this is our data. We've collected data.
Yeah.
And so, and that's only just come from word of mouth of two parents being passionate about supporting their children. Those parents absolutely love that peer-to-peer support. And, and it's an opportunity for them to go, oh my God, I've had a horrendous day. And then someone else go, oh my God, I feel your pain. Let's talk about it. And it's that opportunity.
And sharing tips, sharing what works for them and things they've heard, and you know, the validation. I just want to go back to something that you said. So what I've got written down here is change routine to support the child, thinking that it could just be this individual child's needs, or is there another argument that actually a child needs the structure and routine to thrive?
One family I supported, their child kept having meltdowns on the weekends, masking all week, and then on the weekend it just so had to come out. So I was like, well, what are you doing on the weekend? Oh, we're doing this, this, and this. So cut all that back. Literally go back to basics, do nothing for the first couple of weeks. Go for a little walk around the block. If they need exercise, do a little bit, and then start building it up slowly. That massively reduced.
See what they actually want. Like, don't assume they want to play piano, but say, do you
want that child needed is to rest. The child needed to rest, decongest all that stress. And then the parents can figure out what is that level? What can we add to that bit? And what can we take away? And just understanding that sometimes it's really hard to keep that routine and not go, let's just be fun. But actually we know from their behavior, if they have late nights, it just doesn't work well.
So it's the basic needs that need to be met in any of us, right? Any of us with ADHD know that we need to have our basic needs met. And with regards to like, and I guess we're totally going off piece now, we've gone off 10 minutes, but my brain started going now. What about food? Is that a whole nother subject? Should we come back to that? Is that a different topic altogether? Because you know how some kids are fussy and then some is like safe foods, and then but you'd have to balance, like, I'm talking out of my arse here. I'm just saying what I've heard is like feed your brain and fatty acids and all this stuff. But what if your kid will only eat frozen waffles? Like, what do you do?
And there's core memories I've got. I hated the texture of jeans and being forced to put on these jeans. And that is a core memory I have of a negative. Yeah.
I was forced to eat custard at school, and I can still remember the whole school dinner room watching me, and I was like, but I can't eat it, and like literally gagging eating this custard.
We've got a thing in our house, if my kids had dummies or nappies, like that peer pressure of when should they come off that, when should they, or what food should they have. my wife is an amazing woman, and she always said, your son's not going to be 18 years old still wearing nappies. They're not going to be, you know, sometimes they might just have to wait a little bit longer, but they're not going to be 16 years old or 15 with a dummy in their mouth. If they want to eat waffles and it keeps them happy, I knew an amazing parent, and she would share a lot of stuff about the food. And her daughter only ate potato waffles every day for like years. Her daughter is fine. She's a grown up. She's a teenager now. She's eating loads more food.
She's got waffles for fingers, but she's absolutely fine.
Yeah. Her daughter is like one big thing they say for like parents of ADHD children is, pick your battles.
I'm so grateful to Jacob for another amazing tidbit. There will be a third installment on his parental pearls of wisdom coming up in the coming weeks. I just want to touch on something really quickly. I hope that the parents amongst you have enjoyed these couple of tidbits from Jacob. In season 2, episode 6 of the podcast, I touched on the fact that being over 40 and not raising a family of my own is what I consider to be my biggest ADHD tax. I really wanted to make these tidbits with Jacob to sort of give something back to all of the listeners who are parents, because obviously the age that I am dictates the main age of the listenership. And so most of you will be parents. It's still a really uncomfortable topic for me and not really a subject that I can properly dive into at this moment in time. But I do feel a responsibility with having this platform to make sure that I'm getting information out there to those that need it. So I hope you found these helpful. And as I said, there will be one more. There are lots of previous episodes in which parenthood is touched upon in season 1, including 7, 9, 11, 13, 32, 36, 43, 49, and 50. And in season 2, 6, 8, and 9. And of course, the previous tidbit from Jacob, of which there will be one more, as I said, in the coming weeks, which I can't wait to share with you. And I cannot wait to see Jacob at the Bristol show. This is going to be the last ADHD AF tour, and I will explain why and report back on that in more detail as soon as I can. But just to say, this truly is the last hurrah. So if you haven't grabbed tickets already and you were thinking, oh, I'll wait for the Christmas shows or I'll catch you next time, there isn't going to be one. This is it. This is the last hurrah. So do come along. I hope to see you in Bristol or at one of the other Alien Nation shows starting in less than a month. So it's like 3.5 weeks or something now, which is super exciting. I cannot wait to see you all soon. And I can't wait to share season 3, which is starting on the 9th of April. And I will be sharing all of the ducks that I've got in a row. Thanks so much. I can't wait to see you very soon. I hope you enjoyed that tidbit from an expert. If so, please comment in the Q&A on Spotify or leave a review wherever you're listening, and I might just keep creating them alongside season 3, which is coming right up with some full-length interviews with absolutely legendary ADHD AF guests. If, like me, late diagnosed ADHD left you feeling like an alien, you are not alone. Come and connect with the community at ADHD AF Alien Nation Live Tour, an intergalactic, huntastic expedition invading 14 UK cities this spring summer to raise ADHD awareness and connect local ADHDers. Tickets are available via the link in the blurb of this episode and on ADHDersfemales.com/events. These very special live shows explore going from the feelings of alienation to discovering an alien nation. There's a whole planet of us. I hope to see you in real life there and or chat to you on Discord or over Zoom on the online peer support community, Planet ADHD AF.